Thank you, Jay, for the introduction. I'm Anurag, and today I'm going to be talking about Blowfish, a system that enables dynamic storage performance trade-off in data stores. As has been already outlined in several talks in the past few sessions, distributed data stores form the building blocks for modern cloud services. Over the past few years, a number of efforts have gone into in both academia as well as industry to build these systems, and this has led to a number of key value stores and NoSQL stores that cater to these needs. The goal in these systems is to achieve high throughput, that is, a large number of queries answered per second. In order to achieve high throughput, these systems, all of these systems employ a common scheme that is caching, that is, execute as much of the queries as possible in faster storage. Now, despite the different mechanisms that these systems employ to improve caching, they all share a commonality. That is, all of these systems expose a hard trade-off between the cache utilization and the throughput that the system can offer. In particular, at one extreme, the data in the cache can be uncompressed, where it occupies more of the cache but provides high throughput. On the other hand, it could be compressed, where it uses up less of the cache space but provides lower throughput. Recent studies have shown that for real-world data sets, the difference between compressed and uncompressed representations can be as high as an order of magnitude or more for both throughput as well as storage. As such, today's systems force the applications to achieve one of two points, extreme operating points, and do not achieve any points in between. Moreover, moving between these two points incurs high latency and CPU utilization. This rigidity in today's systems leads to degraded performance when the underlying workload, infrastructure, or combination of the two changes. As an example, we consider a particular example which has already which was also talked about in the Switch KV and Cliffhanger papers in the previous sessions. We consider that the load across the objects in a data store is heavily skewed. For instance, in this graph, the x-axis represents the object IDs sorted by the load on them, and the load on each of the objects is represented on the y-axis. In systems where the amount of cache, we also assume that the compressed representation has unit throughput as well as storage, while the uncompressed representation has a factor of 10 higher storage as well as performance. In today's systems, where the amount of cache is fixed, the ideal utilization of the cache would be when each of the objects is allocated storage just enough to meet the load that is applied to it, except, of course, when the data cannot be compressed beyond the cannot reduce its storage footprint below the compressed representation. The area under the curve in this example shows how the cache is used in the ideal scenario, leaving only a small fraction of the data not kept in the cache, providing ideal performance. On the other hand, in today's systems where we have either compressed or uncompressed representations, the cache utilization is much worse, where a lot of the cache is actually wasted storing uncompressed representation of the data in order to serve the load. However, a larger fraction of the data is not cached, leading to much reduced performance. Another approach is to selectively replicate the compressed objects, where the number of replicas allocated for an object is directly proportional to the load that is applied to it. And the cache utilization, even in this case, is much worse. Even though it is better than the previous example, it is much far from the ideal. And a large fraction of the queries actually have to go to disk. And as we saw in the Cliffhanger paper yesterday, even a small fraction of increase in the cache rate or decrease in the cache rate has a great impact on the system throughput. Moreover, the load across these objects can change over time, leading to further degradation in performance. Today, I want to talk about Blowfish, which is a system that differs from these existing systems in two main aspects. First, it introduces a smooth trade-off curve between storage and performance. That is, it enables application to achieve multiple points between the compressed and uncompressed representations In particular, it allows them to increase or decrease their storage and performance characteristics just enough to meet the performance goals. We also enable a dynamic navigation of the storage performance trade-off curve, where the objects can increase or decrease their storage fractionally in fine-grained timescales. Finally, we show that Blowfish's ability to increase or decrease its storage footprint dynamically allows it to achieve new and unexplored operating points in several classical systems problems. First, we take a look at how Blowfish achieves the storage performance trade-off. As a brief description of the background, Blowfish builds on Succinct, a system that enables queries directly on compressed representation of the data. In order to achieve this compression, Succinct stores only a few samples of the original input data in a sampled array. Since the compression in Succinct is lossless, it also stores two auxiliary arrays that enable that are quite small and enable computing the unsampled values in the sampled array on the fly during query execution. Now, the sampling rate of the original sampled array acts as a proxy for both the system storage as well as performance. More specifically, the storage of the system is dominated by the sampled array, and it decreases linearly with the sampling rate of the sampled array. On the other hand, the latency increases with the sampling rate. Therefore, in order to achieve a smooth storage performance trade-off curve, we want an approach that allows us to increase or decrease the sampling rate efficiently. In order to do so, Blowfish introduces a new data structure called the layered sampled array. Inspired by the multi-layered video encoding techniques, the layered sampled array takes an original sampled array, in this example with a sampling rate of 2, and decomposes it into a hierarchy of layers, each with its own sampling rate. For instance, the topmost layer in this example has a sampling rate of 8, where it stores every 8th value. The layer below it has a sampling rate of 4, storing every 4th value, except values that have already been stored in the layer above. And the lowermost layer has a sampling rate of 2, storing every 2nd value, except values that have already been stored in the layers above. It is easy to see that a different combination of layers allows us to achieve different values of the sampling rate for the original sampled array, and therefore allows Blowfish to achieve different points on the storage performance trade-off curve. Now, in order to incorporate the layered sampled array into practically and efficiently into a distributed data store, Blowfish had to resolve several technical challenges in order to do so. Data stores typically partition their data into shards, where each server may hold one or more shards. Each of these shards or partitions also maintain a request queue of all of their outstanding requests, which forms a proxy for the load on each of these shards. A typical system state could be as shown in the figure, where the load across the shards is heavily skewed, shown by the different number of outstanding requests in the different request queues. What Blowfish enables is for its partitions to increase or decrease the storage footprint to meet the performance needs for each of the partitions. In order to do so, Blowfish has to resolve a few challenges. First, it needs to decide how partitions on a particular server share the cache. It also has to decide how partitions share the global cache across the servers. And finally, it has to decide how requests are to be scheduled across different replicas in a replicated system. Blowfish employs a unified solution to resolve all of these challenges. It uses backpressure-style scheduling to schedule requests across different replicas in the system. In the paper, we show that Blowfish is able to achieve cache sharing for different partitions proportional to their load. And the interesting result is that it is able to do so without requiring any explicit coordination between the partitions. The main intuition behind this is that the backpressure style scheduling provides the necessary coordination implicitly. Next, we take a look at how Blowfish achieves its navigation of the trade-off curve dynamically at fine-grained timescales. Bluefish achieves this dynamic trade-off by adding or deleting layers in the layered sampled array. For example, let us revisit the layered sampled array from our previous example. The layer deletion in this example simply changes the sampling rate from sampling rate 2 to 4, reducing the storage footprint, but at the cost of increased reduced performance. On the other hand, layer addition adds new layers and allows Bluefish to improve the performance at the expense of added storage overhead. Now, in data stores where the servers are used for serving queries, we do not want to use the CPU cycles to populate new layers which require more computation. Recall that since Xsync's compression scheme is lossless, unsampled values in the sampled array are already computed on the fly during query execution. Bluefish exploits the observation that some of these values can actually be used to populate new layers on the fly and opportunistically. This allows Bluefish to navigate the storage performance trade-off curve dynamically at fine-grained timescales. Now, before moving on to the applications of this dynamic storage performance trade-off curve, we'll take a look at the assumptions and limitations in Bluefish. First, Bluefish enables this dynamic storage performance trade-off for functionality that is close to the state-of-the-art NoSQL stores. Now, it is an interesting problem to see if we can extend this trade-off for more sophisticated operations such as SQL queries. Next, the Bluefish gains are significant for queries that do not touch all servers. And in fact, many systems actually employ sharding schemes to ensure that the queries touch only a small fraction of the servers to increase system throughput. Finally, we assume that the system is not network bottlenecked, since in that case, the storage performance trade-off curve may not improve the performance at all. However, as the MICA paper showed in 2014, most of today's state-of-the-art data stores actually are not network bottlenecked. Now we take a look at the applications. In particular, we see how Bluefish allows us to look at classical systems problems through a new lens. First, we revisit the spatial skew problem that we discussed earlier, where the load distribution across the different partitions in the system can be very heavily skewed. Recall that selective replication of compressed objects, where the number of replicas allocated is proportional to the load, can lead to wasted cache space and therefore fewer objects fitting into the cache, leading to performance degradation. And this can be, in fact, far from ideal, even worse when the data grows in scale. The approach that Bluefish takes is to fractionally increase or decrease the storage and performance characteristics of its partitions fractionally, just enough to meet the load on each of these partitions, allowing us to achieve a performance that is arbitrarily close to the ideal. It also allows us to achieve a throughput that is 1.5 times higher than the selective replications for conservative settings, and the performance gains improving with scale as the scale of the data increases. It also allows us to achieve performance that is within 10% of the optimal for the same conservative settings. The next application we look at is changes in spatial skew, where the skew across the data items can change over time. As an extreme example, we consider the case of transient failures. A study of the Facebook warehouse cluster in 2013 showed that a majority of the failures in their servers are transient, which means that a failed server is likely to come back up online after some time. In order to avoid unnecessary network traffic, the systems avoid creating additional replicas for a period of 15 minutes. Now, interestingly, this leads to a drastic change in the workload that the system sees over a very short period of time. To see how, we consider three replicas of a partition distributed across three servers. Now, when one of these replicas fail and due to a transient failure, all of its requests gets redistributed across the remaining replicas, increasing the load on each of these replicas by as much as 50%. And this happens in a very short period of time, leading to load spikes. Now, in order to see how Bluefish adapts to these changes, we note we restrict our focus to one of these replicas that see the increased load. And we, in particular, we consider a partition of roughly 8 gigabytes of data and measure both the throughput that the system can serve as well as the load that is applied to it for a period of 120 minutes. In summary, for the first 30 minutes, we assume that the load is equal to the throughput since the system is under normal operation. At time t equal to 30 minutes, we increase the load to three times the original load to 1,800 operations per second as opposed to 600 operations per second. In order to study how Blowfish reacts to this, we measure the request queue size as observed by Blowfish in that period. For the first 30 minutes, since the load equals the throughput, there is no request queue buildup. However, at time t equal to 30 minutes, since we increase the load, the request queue size increases since the load, since the throughput is unable to satisfy the load that is applied. At this point, Blowfish triggers layer additions, allowing it to adapt to this change. And finally, at a point when the system throughput actually increases beyond the load itself, the request queues start depleting and the system resumes normal operation. At time t equal to 90 minutes, when we drop the load back to the original, it, the system adapts almost immediately, allowing, since the layer deletions in Blowfish are inexpensive and quite fast. And therefore, the system can actually adapt to an increase of a factor of 3 increase in load in a period of time that is less than 5 minutes. To summarize, we have introduced Blowfish, a distributed data store that introduces two new capabilities. First, it introduces a smooth trade-off curve between storage and performance. Next, it introduces, it allows applications to navigate along this smooth trade-off curve dynamically at fine-grained timescales. Finally, we have showed how Blowfish enables new operating points in the system design space for a large class of applications in classical systems problems. Thank you, and I can take any questions that you have now.
Robert Escriva, Cornell University. Can you go back a few slides? I want to see the one where you're showing the load and the throughput, because there's a spike in throughput where it goes above the expected load, where I would expect the throughput to drop when the request queue size grows in size.
Yeah.
Why is there a spike instead of a upward spike instead of a downward spike?
Let me go back to the plot. Yeah. So at at this point.
Yeah, why is the throughput spiking upward?
Yeah, so
I would expect it to spike downward.
For at time t equal to 30, when we increase the load on the partition, the system is actually, at that point of time, unable to sustain that throughput. So the throughput is actually less than the applied load for a small period of time. Mm-hmm. Blowfish detects this change and in terms of the request queue increasing and actually triggers layer additions in the layered sampled array.
So and so the spike is just it catching up and processing things faster
for a period of time? So at the peak point where the request queue has saturated to that point, Blowfish actually has finished adaptation and starts depleting the request queue.
Okay.
And at that point, the throughput actually shoots past the applied load itself to clear up the backlog that was there before.
Okay, so this is an actual experiment.
Yeah, this is an actual experiment, yes.
All right, let's thank Anurag.